Here with us now is Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana.
So, Chris, over the weekend, one of the things that really struck me was the juxtaposition of the raucousness of the launches of lots of different, frankly, sports seasons. You know, college football underway, pro football coming underway. And at the same time, these painful observances of the 20th anniversary of September 11th, sometimes even blended together. My alma mater did a pregame and halftime show at their football game that was focused on September 11th, but then also, you know, a big screaming football game.
Right.
You've been reflecting on the decision to play, basically, after a national crisis such as 9/11, and how that reflects the decision we're making to play in this national crisis, too.
Yeah, I was really struck watching some of those observances you're talking about over the weekend, kind of the parallel between this moment we're in now. You know, we've talked throughout the pandemic of the return to sports as both a thing that gives us this sense of community and togetherness that we need, right? The distraction from the bleakness of what our real world has become, but also the concerning nature of seeing fans in the stands. And I was really taken right back to kind of that those moments right after 9/11, because there was actually some tension about whether or not to play then. You know, 9/11 happened on a Tuesday, and there were basically two camps in the NFL. One camp saying, we can't possibly play right now. This nation is in mourning. And the other saying, well, that's exactly what they need. They need a distraction. We need to keep going with our life and resume that normalcy. And you could see it. The Players Association actually voted 17-11 not to play that weekend following September 11th. So it was a close vote. And owners were split as well. Robert Kraft, actually, the Patriots owner, was one of those the day after wanted the NFL to play that week, and then told Paul Tagliabue, who was the NFL commissioner at the time, he was watching a newscast late Wednesday night around midnight or 1 a.m. and saw then New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani talking about the fact that they're going to be ordering 6,000 body bags and basically saying, well, that changes my mind. We need to not play. And he became a voice to take the week off.
So when did they
play?
Then,
yeah, so then that creates this kind of return the following week, right? And this is one that the Patriots actually played a central role in as well. There was a moment I will never forget. The Patriots were hosting the Jets, the New York Jets, obviously one of the teams most affected by this. And Joe Andruzzi, who was an offensive lineman for the Patriots, came from a family. He had three brothers who were working as New York firefighters at the time. One of whom, Jimmy, was in the tower and had made it up to the 25th floor evacuating people and then had to come back down when one of his colleagues had chest pains. And as they were leaving through the lobby, the marble walls start to crack and this huge cloud of smoke starts basically chasing them out of the building. And Joe never heard from Jimmy for a chunk of hours, basically not sure whether or not he made it out. And so fast forward to basically a week and a half later, Joe Andruzzi is the last Patriots player to leave the tunnel, and his three New York firefighter brothers are on the field as honorary captains. And Joe is about to leave the tunnel, and he sees these two handheld American flags taped to the wall, and he just grabs them and runs out, shaking these flags for the crowd, and the stadium just erupts as his brothers see him and take their helmets off. And there is this absolutely incredible moment that the image is etched in my mind forever. And I watched it five or six times this weekend, kind of reliving that. And it just really captured the power of this moment and how badly we needed to breathe as a country. And, you know, it may be stupid sports, right? It's a bunch of grown adults throwing a ball around a field and keeping track of points. Like, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But at the same time, it gives us such an opportunity to come together and to resume these cultural rituals we have and to feel connected in a way that we needed so badly in that moment. And it just reminds me of where we're at now.
Yeah.
Because we do have these kind of two split groups of thought, right? One saying we need to get back to normalcy. We need that in our lives. And another saying it doesn't make sense to take the risks to do that, to play a game. And we're kind of seeing that play out right now as, you know, you watched this weekend kind of stadium packed full of people screaming for their team like you're talking about.
Yeah, and it did, Chris, I want to stay on that for a minute because stands were packed This was the first time Patriot fans have been able to attend a real game since January of 2019. Yeah. From a fandom standpoint, that's really important. At the same time, when folks returned to stadiums after 9/11, there wasn't a risk that they could hurt each other.
Right.
And yeah, this is different this time.
Absolutely. And it was jarring to see. I mean, we've talked about some of the protocol that Gillette Stadium's put in place in terms of mobile tickets, cashless concessions. And, you know, you're basically agreeing that you don't have symptoms by showing up. But there's no vaccine requirement. And it's pretty concerning when you see people packed into a tight arena like that and knowing they're going to be there for 3 or 4 hours screaming and you know, eating and drinking. And it's hard not to worry about what the effects are going to be down the road.
And yet, you know, by accident, really, my family and I were at the first Red Sox game after the Boston Marathon bombing. And while everyone was terrified that by going to the game, you might be creating a center of gravity for another attack, going back, claiming that normalcy also felt like an important statement.
Yeah, I think so. There was something beautiful about having a Sunday full of football and, you know, setting aside that other stuff, kind of feeling like it was okay to forget about that for a few hours and to cheer your team on and to care about stupid stuff, right? It was like having the freedom to care about something that ultimately doesn't matter for a few hours. I think we all just kind of desperately need that relief in one way or another.
All right, so let's see if we can make that transition now, because people are back in the stands. And for a lot of New Englanders, being a part of Red Sox Nation or Patriot Nation is part of the joy of being here. You want to talk a little bit of football?
I would love to.
Okay.
I know I could use that distraction.
So, and it was an interesting game with a bittersweet outcome. Let's just talk a little bit about this game with the Pats and their first game with a new rookie quarterback. And for people who are not sports people, maybe just start by talking about what a big deal it is for the New England Patriots to have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows who Tom Brady is, right? Like, even if you're not a football fan, you're aware of the person that is Tom Brady. So he left. We're obviously past the Tom Brady era here. But last year we had Cam Newton, who was a talented player in his prime and a fixture in the league. But we knew that was short term, right? He was only going to be around for a year or two. And obviously last year didn't work. Now you're looking at a rookie quarterback starting for this team. It's only the third time in team history that they've had a rookie quarterback start the season. Drew Bledsoe in 93 and Jim Plunkett in 1971. And the reason it's exciting is because you're potentially seeing the guy who could be leading your team for the next 10 or 15 years if everything goes well. You mentioned the team lost. They lost to the Dolphins by 1 point, 17-16. But I actually found a lot to be excited about from a pure football standpoint in this game. I thought Mac looked pretty good at quarterback, including his first NFL touchdown pass to a newly acquired wide receiver, Nelson Agholor.
There is a block and touchdown pass. Agholor from the rookie Mac Jones, his first NFL touchdown pass.
So an opportunity for people who are getting interested in football to maybe really follow a career from its beginning. And everything I've seen in sports commentary today, Chris, says Jones looked good, but the loss was ugly. And they did lose.
Yeah, they did lose. I want to stay on Jones just for a sec, because it's pretty rare for a rookie quarterback to look that good in their debut. And one of the things that you usually do with a rookie quarterback is you'll pressure them. You'll blitz, basically. So he was great against the blitz with extra guys rushing him. He was able to make the right throws and stick in the pocket and read the defense well. But they had 8 penalties for 84 yards. That's more than double what they averaged last year per game. They had 4 fumbles, one that completely cost them the game. They were driving, like 3 minutes left to play, had the ball deep in field goal range, and they just basically let it slip through their fingers. So a sloppy way to lose the game, especially when your rookie quarterback does so well.
And yet you sound kind of happy.
Yeah, I think you've got some new guys on this team. The defense looked good. They gave up a pretty easy first drive, but then they really knuckled down. They only gave up 6 points in the entire second half. You had Nelson Agholor, I mentioned. You've got 2 new tight ends that look pretty good. And remember, the Patriots spent more than any other team in the league in free agency this year, which is so unlike the Patriots. But again, I think the additions to the roster, plus Mac Jones showing like he can do what they need to do to be successful, I think they're going to do all right. And I'm not the only one who's excited. You got to hear Bill Belichick raving about his new rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I thought we all competed hard. We just all got to do a better job. Yeah, I mean, Matt competed hard. I thought we had a lot of guys competing hard, but we just got to We just got to perform better.
I have to laugh.
There's excitement in the air,
because you always give us these cuts from Bill Belichick where you'd think he just woke up from a nap. He's so subdued. All right, so we have a little bit of time left, Chris. And one of the things that has been a particular joy of mine over the years is you making predictions that you then have to walk back, but then you turn out more right, but then you have to walk them back again, but then maybe you're right. So what are you going to call at the beginning of the season here?
All right, so I think it's important to remember we've never seen a rookie quarterback even make the Super Bowl, never mind win it. So we have to rein in our expectations a little bit. I think this is a playoff team. I think they sneak into the playoffs, and then if you do that, maybe you win a round or two. Who knows from there? I'd like to see them make the playoffs, ideally win one round in the playoffs to really kind of plant some foundation for Mac Jones' growth. And you got to clean it up. You got to have less penalties and less turnovers. And also the biggest thing I'm going to be watching for, week four, Brady comes back to town.
Oh.
How are fans going to react? We're going to see. It's
going to be, we are so going to watch that. All right, that's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks.
Thanks, TC Allen.
I got chills thinking about that one. All right, that is our show for today, folks. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Walter Wuthman, Amanda Beland, and Cynthia Betubiza. Marquise Neal is our technical director, and we had engineering help today from Patrick O'Connor. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening, and do join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.